Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
JT, yeah. It smells in here. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
I'm out.
It is World Poetry Open Mic, the Western Edition, August 31st, 2018. We thought, what the hell? All right, JT. Turn down the Aaron Copland. It's making me unfocused.
Sorry.
All right, thank you, my friend. All right, everybody. Welcome. We're so happy to have you. Of course, forgive us for going the normal introduction, but we're really happy to be here tonight. This is just a beautiful night here in Denver, Colorado. We hope it's a beautiful night wherever you are. We're here to all join together, celebrate the written word, celebrate spoken word art. My name is Michael Amadei. I'm one of the hosts here. I'm joined by my friend and the man who keeps everything going, Mr. JT.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you... So... I'm out of blanks.
You're out of blanks. Okay.
Okay. We were shooting blanks at the beginning of the show, and actually, JT found us. He acquired us some cap guns, which I was really excited about, and immediately told him we need to do a Western episode. And I feel like you and I, if this was even remotely possible to do in public,
uh-huh,
would get into so many childish situations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
with these.
It'd be a blast. But pop around the corner.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
No,
man. We would not make it to the next episode.
Nope.
All right, so we are here for our we're doing an episode tonight. We're going to be away next Friday.
Yes.
Okay, so what that means is, since that's the first of the first night of September, we're going to do the first three clues of our September Poet of the Month.
Woo-hoo! There we go.
There's a misfire there.
Oh,
all right. We also have some great poetry from a lot of people. We have submissions. We have all this lined up. And I'm going to be going through and talking about some of my Western history, JT. Did you know that I had a Western history?
I did.
I think some people in the show do.
Yeah.
But I don't think they know that was my full-time life.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of really weird experiences. And I lived some elements of lifestyle that people don't even realize is still actually out there. So I'm going to be sharing some of that tonight, but we also have so many other great things happening. It's not all going to be about that.
Right.
So before we get into anything else, though, I want to remind you, we're doing our 2018 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology, which is the way that we support the show. So if you want to support using poetry, send a message to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just put submission for anthology. You can include as many poems as you would like, and we'll put it in the book, and we'll actually release it probably late November, early December, just in time for Christmas if you want to give it as a gift. But it really goes a long way to pay for all the stuff that makes this show possible, and we really appreciate all of the support. Now, the way this works is we're going to be doing multiple segments to start out with, 5 unique callers each segment. Then after we've done a few of those and we feel like we've kind of hit the end of the road we have here, we're going to go to what's called a return engagement. The return engagement is where anybody who wants to still call in but hasn't yet, or someone who wants to call and read another poem can all do so. We'll do it there. Am I forgetting anything, JT? I think that's pretty much the game plan, right?
Setup. Yep.
Okay, cool. Now, before we get into anything else, though, I'm going to lay down the rules of the show. Number one, no hate speech. We don't do that. We never have from day one. Number two, we try to skew PG-13. So if we have family, people who are listening who kind of aren't the right audience for blue poetry, that they're able to enjoy everything that we're doing just as much. If you do have something that's a little bit kind of darker or adult themed, wait until we do an After Dark segment, which we usually do once a month or maybe every 2 months, just depending on how the dates fall. And then that's totally fine there. However, we're not in the business of censorship. So if you have a really good flow going in, it's art, we might not say anything. But if it gets gratuitous, we reserve the right to jump in and ask you to move to the other segment. Next one. Let's see. Please be prepared. That's funny for me to stumble on that one. Please be prepared when we come on the line to read your poem. Don't be looking for it. We understand if the screen turns off or something weird happens, that's not the same thing. But just make sure you got it ready. You know what poem you're going to read, and it's there in front of you. And the next one is please keep your poems from 3 to 5 minutes, preferably no longer. We want to be respectful of everyone's time and make sure things are moving along at a decent clip. And the very last rule is we love comments and suggestions.
Yes.
If you have them, please send them to us through email, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or in the contact form on the website. That way we get them and we can address them. Otherwise, a lot of times it just goes in one ear and out the other because we're focused on the show.
Right.
All right. Got everything? Good?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, cool. So I've got a great submission when we start the next segment, but we need 5 unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
Yeah. Oh, you got me.
Woo!
Ah, oh. I'm out again.
You're out again.
Damn, I would not have been a good gunfighter. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for being patient. We, like I said, Skype is, it's like you are Captain JT Kirk, and Skype is your con. Yeah, so at any rate, thank you so much. We got everything worked out. We got it all handled. We got a great lineup here of 5 callers and an awesome submission. We're going to get into JT. You have a lot of these cap things, right?
Yes, I
I've already burned through 2. Whoa,
yeah.
Now, I remember a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And I don't know if you want me to say this.
It's okay.
But it was great. In the middle of a poem, we have the microphones off. JT's listening, but he's trying to figure out how to do this, and he couldn't get it to work. And then, right before the poem was done, he hit it one more time, and it went off, and it scared him.
And Yes, it did.
And then we came on. Ooh, all right, there we go. Anyway, we're enjoying these a little too much, I think,
plenty.
JT.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I don't think they'd look kindly on that on at Applebee's after this. All right, so
it'd be funny.
All right, but anyway, we've got a great segment lined up. We're going to start with a submission from, wouldn't you know it, Namrata Santoki. Namrata, thank you so much for all your work. This one, I'm going to read the preamble, but this one's called The 23 Wishes. This is what she said ahead of time. This is a poem I've written on my 23rd birthday. It's on making 23 wishes, though not materialistic, but they're important characteristics of life. I add on each as I get a year older. So here we go. The 23 Wishes. As I blew the candles with my eyes closed, an eternal peace within, I make these 23 wishes. Honesty, to create positive energy. Modesty, in itself is beauty. Loyalty, to get closer to
to Almighty, humanity as a spiritual appearance, gentle to soothe the grieving souls, resilient to face the dark times, caring to the ones in need, assertive to represent my opinions, reliable in my life performances, discipline in my profession, leadership to take responsibilities, practicality as a significance of age, mature enough to be emotionally open, creative eyes to see beautiful earth, consistency in my pursuits, appreciative to every happy moment, capable to encourage the peace in the world, perceptive mind to the healing souls, patience for the miracles when I'm in trouble, versatile nature to venture different paths, self-confidence to wear as an outfit, a sense of humor, the most elegant jewels, and above all, love for all as a souvenir, to open the caring arms and heart filled with joy as I blew the candles and step into a year further. And that was the 23 Wishes by Namrata Santoki. Namrata, that was beautiful.
It was.
Thank you so much. And by the way, happy birthday. If you want to send in a piece of work like Namrata did, you can do it by sending it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just say submission in the subject line or in the contact form at worldpoetryopenmic.net. Those are the only two official ways to do it. All right, JT, we ready?
We are ready.
All right, we're going to kick this off by going to the UK and visiting with Titus. Good morning, Titus. How are you?
Yes, good. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being patient. We had a bit of an issue there.
I thought the show had come on the air when you came up to say that you've got to turn it off. But
yeah, sorry.
I started panicking. I thought, oh, let's turn all the volumes down.
Well, that means you're a pro at it. We just kind of threw a surprise at you. So thank you for being flexible.
Definitely.
So I'm going to give you the stage then, all right? We'll talk after.
Sure. But I was going to think that it was going to be a Western theme for poets, but I think I've got one floating about. But the other side of the world, John Keats in the late 17th century to the, I think it was the 18th century to the 19th century, his life existed. So I suppose this is another one about his. It's called A Sense of Feeling Afterwards, The Works of John Keats, Sonnet. Thought best that in my lifetime that it was a letter would it test provoke this way. Sensation death would not allow a pause to reconsider life's and further say. It is within this letter one's last words and one John Keats romanticism said to show a sense of feeling afterwards I thought it best to show my love instead. A solemn pledge, sensations asks, it ought. No fear will grieve entirely, will it, death? It's like among so many reams you'll sort. Just take my last but one and final breath. Such it is, food for thought to keep the past. John Keats once fell asleep, his words outlast. End of poem.
That was a beautiful piece and a beautiful read, Titus. As always, we've come to expect that, but it doesn't make it less appreciated any time.
Well, his works were really received very well by the critics when he was alive. It was sad that after he died that he became well-known, so that's quite a sad thing.
It's one of those things that's interesting, though. Like, at what point do you find yourself qualified to be a poetry critic? You know, it's such a personal thing, yeah.
Well, that defining line that I've just said, it's decided that much of the stuff, the learning curve of our poetry, they exist as poems, but I've decided to get rid of them and just keep the best stuff.
I like that idea. I do.
Mm. It took a long time to work that one out because I didn't really want to, but it took a couple of years.
All right. That's all right. That was a beautiful one, and thank you so much, Titus.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Titus Kahn from the UK. He gets up early every time to be able to join us, and we really appreciate him for that. And we also appreciate him for his work, of course. Now we're going to head to somebody who actually was on a panel last week, which we really were thankful for. Let's go to Cynthia Sharp in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
How's it going tonight?
Oh, I'm so happy to be here on the show.
We're happy to have you, and we appreciate it once again, appreciate everything from last week, and always look forward to your work anyway.
So I'm going to read from my new book, Rainforest in Russet. And so the poem I'm doing is called Crescent Moon. Tranquil branches rest under a pastel sky, wave slow to a heartbeat. Rhythms of winter subside to spring, like light from an ended star. The seashore blessed in caramel and lilac shells, like aurora borealis sprinkled across the sand. Brave bare souls and paws taste the cool ripples, the strength of kindness in every changing season. End poem.
There's that meditative, beautiful read that we always love so much from you, Cynthia.
Thank you so much. And then I chose it because I'm not ready for summer to be done.
I can understand this. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to hold on and savor these next 3 weeks because it's still technically summer.
Technically. Yes, it is, isn't it? That's where it's pretty nice out here, though. It still feels like summer. There's little hints of fall happening, though. Are you noticing that?
Yes, there is.
Yeah. And then before long, I'll be singing the autumn leaves sadly as I stare out my window.
Yes.
All right. Cynthia.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Of course. Thank you. And that was Cynthia Sharp calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, the second in the lineup of this first segment here. Now we're going to head to the carpal tunnel of the Mitten State. That is Michigan. Let's go to visit Dennis. Good evening, Dennis.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Dennis. And welcome,
hello.
Dennis. How's it going?
It's going good. How you doing?
Doing well.
So, yes.
How'd this week go?
So it was a good week for me. And it's always a good Friday because you're on the air.
Hey. Well, thanks for that. We're happy to be here ourselves. So I know we're being a little obnoxious with this Western theme, but we're enjoying it. So... but we're gonna be quiet and actually give you some space on stage to actually use your artistic merit, and then we'll step back in after.
Well, I wanted to say happy birthday to Namrata.
Yeah,
and I understand there's another birthday, which is your birthday coming up on September 2nd.
That's right. That's
and
right. Thank you
for both of you. I give you this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Namrata and Michael. Happy birthday to you and many more.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. You really nailed that major seventh and the end there. That was no, thank you.
Oh, only a music teacher would have caught that.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Oh,
well,
thanks so much.
You're welcome, and many, many more to both of you.
Well, we hope so. I hope so for Namrata's case, especially too. So,
yes.
All right. Well. Well, thanks, Dennis. Do you have anything else you want to share with us?
Yes, I do.
Good. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't, like, prematurely cutting off. Okay.
All right. My poem this evening is by the poet of the month, Catherine Lee Bates. The title is To My Country. Oh, dear my country, beautiful and dear. Love cloth, not dark in sight. God looketh through love's eyes, whose vision's clear. Behold, more flaws than keenest hate hath known. Nor is love's judgment gentle, but austere. the heart of love must break ere it condone one stain upon the white. There comes an hour when the parent turns the challenge of the child. The bridal passion for perfection burns. Life gives her last allegiance to the best. Each sweet idolatry the spirit spurns. Once more enfranchised for its starry quest of beauty undefiled. Love must be won with honor. Yet today, love liveth by a sign. Allows no lasting compromise with clay, but tends the mounting miracle of gold. Content with service till the bud makes way to the rejoining, rejoicing sunbeams that unfold its culminate divine. There is a rumoring among the stars, a trouble in the sun. Freedom, most holy word, hath fallen at jars with her own deeds. 'Tis mammon's jubilee. Again, the cross contends with scimitars. The seraphim look down with dread to see earth's noblest hope undone. Oh, dear my country, beautiful and dear, ultimate dream of time, by all thy millions longing to revere a pure, august, authentic commonwealth. Climb to the light, imperiled pioneer of brotherhood among the nations, seal our faith with thy sublime. End of poem, a poem by Catherine Lee Bates.
Solid, solid, strong choice and a great read.
Well, thank you, thank you. I hope I did her poem justice. I stumbled a little bit, but it's a lot of good stuff in that poem. And she's a very good writer, and I'm glad I could share one of her works again this evening.
You know, and you did a great job at it. And, you know, Dennis, it's interesting hearing that. You can totally hear the same voice that is America the Beautiful. You can really hear that it is the same author, you know,
yes.
I think.
Yes. I think so, too.
Yeah. Great stuff.
She had a definite love and passion for this country, but she didn't limit herself just to topics of the country. She wrote about a lot of different things.
Right.
And, you'll read her passion in most of her work.
You definitely can. You definitely can. And thanks so much for digging in and finding that one, too. That's a great addition, and I'm glad we could share with everyone.
Thank you for picking her as Poet of the Month, and I'm looking forward to hearing about the next one. So I'm going to step aside and let the next poet come up, and I'm going to say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you. And that was Dennis Kahn from Michigan, number 3 in our first set here. All right. Wait until he hears the clues in the next one. I think it's going to melt some people's brains.
It might.
Yeah. We're working hard on these. Okay. It is not who you think it is.
Okay.
That's what I'll say.
All right.
All right. We're going to stay in Michigan, actually. We're going to go visit George now. Hey, George, good evening.
Oh, good evening. Good evening.
Thank you for being patient, being on hold and everything. How's this whole week gone?
Oh, it's just been wonderful. I took my annual shower.
All right.
Good.
And, so you're smelling fresh.
Well, that was actually it 1 month ago. But I found some more nose hairs in the mirror. So, you know, there's a downside to cleaning up sometimes.
It was hair loss on the head and the increased hair growth in ears and nose made me aware of cosmic absurdity at a fairly early age.
That's right. That's right, because of what you went through. Yeah, I should be so lucky. Not really. Yes. No. Yeah. Good week. Good week.
Good. Just, happy to hear it.
Outside all week, painting and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, that sounds great.
The poem I wrote this week is a more sort of a coming of age thing. It's called "I Could But Dream." She shifted her desk a bit. Perchance, I fantasized, to see me better. My brain was ginning up facts without substance. There, did she look at me? She grinned at the teacher, rendering him, I assumed, into a rapture. Did she love anyone, hate anyone, care about anyone? How in the world could any man not be in love with her? At my 15 years of nuclear hormonal bombardment, I could but dream. The long legs crossed as her feet moved just enough to shake the laces. Parts of me stirred in school as well as at home when I thought of her. Some of her yellow hair fell over the green eyes, adding a mystery. Who was she peeking at from under that crown of gold? She often put a pencil in her mouth and twisted it a bit in and out. I could see the fine hairs on her arms as she wrote with her left hand. Each day she grew more beautiful, maturing as I watched her. I must hurry, or she'd fly into someone else's pulsing arms. How could I accelerate my coolness to the point she noticed? Would I appear more seductive if I ignored her, or if I stared at her? She had a low voice, husky, and answered the teacher's questions with a smile. He accepted her answers gladly, even when she was wrong. Had the spirits lofted her into my classroom like a grand gilded gift? Even if she probably didn't even know my name. One day she smiled at me in the hallway, and I almost tripped over my feet. I decided to ask her to the autumn hop. The fear of my decision suspended all else. I was consumed with the thought of dancing with her. Could I control my groin? I resolved to ask her the next day. I would not chicken out. I would do it. What? She was not in class the next day. She never missed class. And the next day, too. I approached a girl who knew her and inquired. Oh, Marlene. She moved. Went to live with her father in Wisconsin. I knew you'd ask. I've been watching you watch her all the time. It's pretty pathetic. Did she ever mention me? No, she didn't even know your name. By the way, who are you asking to the dance? You. End of poem.
I really like that one.
Wow. Yeah.
And as Stan said in the chat room, ah, puberty.
That's right. He remembers it.
Oh yeah. Man! It's
when the bombardment of hormones during our lives. Yes.
I have to remember that because it's so funny. I will actually walk in. They have junior high dances at the school where I am. They're gonna have one on Halloween. I always walk up because it's wonderful to just walk into a room and see the girls standing on one side, staring at the boys who are on the other side, pretending they can't see the girls. They're just slamming themselves against the wall for a few hours, and that's
and the music is about 500 decibels.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, just block out any sensory. It's like a sensory deprivation tank. Only you're there with some friends.
My worst volunteerism event in my life was volunteering to chaperone at my son's seventh grade dance. First of all, he didn't want me there to start with. So he said, hide behind the speakers, Dad. You know. Anyway, the speakers were set at about, like I said, 500 decibels, and everybody screamed. They screamed. They danced, they jumped, and they screamed. No one really danced tenderly. It was just a zoo, a total zoo. And one of the other parents said, you look like you're in shock. And I said, I am in shock. I don't remember being seventh grade anymore. That's my problem. But anyway, Yeah, that was so funny. I still tease my son about that because he didn't want me anywhere. He didn't want anybody to see me. You know?
It's absolutely hilarious to watch that stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'm surrounded by it every day. It's the best. I told all the kids, well, you have a choice. We can do Hamlet, Macbeth, or Romeo and Juliet. And at Romeo and Juliet, all of these 14-year-old kids are, no, not at all. We're not interested.
No. Please.
Don't
no.
make us. That's great. That's great.
Well, it was fun to write it, and I'm glad you liked it.
We really did. Thanks so much, George.
Okay, I'll step aside. All right. See you later.
Talk to you later. And that was George, also calling from Michigan, doing a great piece as well. It couldn't have been more different what Dennis and George did.
Yeah.
But I thought it was great all the same. Speaking of puberty, let's go to Kentucky.
Okay.
Let's go to Philip. Hello, Philip. How are you, sir?
You got any of that there Marty Robbins to play?
Hey, JT, do you have any Marty? You got El Paso?
Well, yeah, I could get it.
I can do the short version. You want to do the short version?
Go ahead.
I've done this many times,
yes,
right?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, I'm going to do it one more time. Ready? One little kiss and Felina, goodbye. There you go. The short version.
Marvelous.
All right.
I feel serenaded, sir. You know, it's a Western theme. How can you go wrong with good old Marty?
That's right.
I used to listen to quite a bit of Mr. Robbins back in the day.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Yeah. What a voice, too. Well, I don't want to slow things down, so I am prepared, Michael.
Well, thank you.
With my poem.
Yeah.
If I can get through the title, then I think I can do the rest of it. So here we go. Hints of synesthesia mixed with lightly revised free associations. And here we go. Eyes born with a voice, mouth languorous for silence and dusk-suckled stones beneath mineral skies. Ears deaf to clarion war trumpets, since hearing those first love notes, lyre strummed among wild-grown gardens, brilliant red and purple tones, petal fallen, the ecstasy of sudden chill breezes, across sweat sun glistened, along arms and thighs bronzed as Mesopotamia, the Tigris and silt leisurely Euphrates. Hands that make shadows malleable, souls upon waters undisturbed by footsteps, met below their inverted reflection, speared through limpid depths. Metamorphosis among the oldest beliefs pours out its protean verses, inheritance from ancient culture and communally assuaged fears manifest in symbolic nightmares. Soothsayers and their auguries. Consciousness indistinguishable from space, though history goes on about skirmishes, the plight of anguish and vicissitudes when infinity cannot be owned and all only shared, whispered upon lilting invitations. Pearls no different than silence, cradled bird-like in tender palms, cast out and blood trampled by the covetously intolerant. And there it is, fellers.
Very, very nicely done, Philip.
I appreciate that. My fine sir with a great voice, and thank you for the serenade, and it was good to hear George and everyone else read, and happy birthday to you, or hey, prematurely,
thank you, sir.
And to Namrata. It makes me very happy, and many more to all of you.
We're happy you're here with us to join us, Philip, and we hope you're doing real well.
I do. I feel loved, you guys.
Good. That's all we want. We just want everyone to feel loved.
All right. I look forward to the next poet. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers, Philip. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. Laying it down, picking it up, kicking it back, knocking it down. Thank you very much. JT loves and hates that so much. Okay. It's all right. So now it has become time for our first three clues of the September 2018 Poet of the Month.
Woohoo!
Yeah! I'm your Huckleberry. Okay. Ugh. God, that smells terrible. Okay. As you know, we have a Poet of the Month every month of the year. What I'll do is I'll give three clues 1 week. The next week, I will give three more clues, and then we'll unveil on the third week. However, since we're not going to be here next week, we figured we would just do the clues now, even though it's not September yet. And then we'll, once we skip the week, we'll come back. I'll do the next set, and then we'll be kind of on track. I'll unveil still in the third week of the month, or the third show of the month, anyway, I should say.
Something like that.
Okay, so here we go. Here is the first clue, I should say, for this month's POM. Cobra Commander. Okay. Number two, he corrects all of the errors. And number three, fingers so nimble. All right, let's do it one more time. Cobra Commander, he corrects all of the errors, fingers so nimble. Those are your clues for the September 2018 Poet of the Month. I just kind of just want to do that every time we have a microphone around anymore. Like at Mass today, that would have been great.
Oh,
hallelujah!
Wow.
Okay, all right. So if you think you know who the Poet of the Month is, send us a message at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. If you are the first one to get it, you will get to choose a song that I do in the following month. So Dennis got it this last month. He actually sent a song I'm going to be working out for when we do Studio X in September.
Yep.
So if you win this for September, I'll be doing it in October.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, everyone, it's time for our second segment. So we need five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
And now, your deep thought.
Time ain't nothing to a pig.
And that was your deep thought.
Yeah! Time ain't nothing to a pig. And we're back here in the second segment. World Poetry Open Mic, the August 31st, 2018 edition.
I'm out.
You out already? I think you got like two shots off, man.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
I'm going to reload.
Okay. All right. Sorry. So we got four great poets lined up, and this is going to be an awesome one. Then we're going to automatically trigger the return engagement. The return engagement.
That's amazing. I don't know where
engagement.
That comes from.
Several shots to get there. All right. So before we get into that, though, since this is Western night. We're literally like the only ones really doing anything
just
with this.
Us.
So, okay. So really quickly about my Western thing.
Yes.
So I was hired to sing, essentially lead with the world famous Flying W Wranglers out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, which was actually essentially one of the first actual chuck wagon bands in the country. It started in 1952. Still going now. Got inducted in the Western Music Hall of Fame in 2009. And it was really an all-encompassing profession for me. I legitimately was living in the bunkhouse. I legitimately was playing shows to crowds of like 3,000, 4,000 people every single day. At least one show, sometimes two. I was eating, you know, steak and stuff every single day, dressed like a cowboy every single day, actually doing ranch hand work, branding cattle, doing all that stuff. And it was my life for quite a while. I got to meet a lot of people, Johnny Western and, you know, all these are not as cool as you think they'd be. And but one of the reasons I'm bringing this up right now is that back when I used to do the show, this guy, the late, great Tony Ludeker, was the only living five-time Grand National Fiddle Champion at the time. Loved to say, call Colorado Colorado, and would argue with anybody who thought it was different, even those people from Colorado. He used to do a thing on stage where he would read a version of Cinderella that Archie Campbell used to do called Rindercella. It's fairly short. I think I'm going to give it a try. What do you think, JT?
All right.
I might totally screw this up
because
it's pretty messed up. Everybody, bear with me. Let's try Rindercella. Here we go. All right, here we go. Oh, nice. All right, we got Ismaren Copeland going. It's exactly what we need with Archie Campbell. Here we go. Once upon a time in a corn country, there lived a very beautiful burl. Her name was Rendersella. Now, Rendersella lived with her mugly other and her two sad misters. In this same corn country, there was a very prancing Hince. And this prancing Hince was going to have a bancy fall. And he invited people from riles a mound, especially the pitch reaple. Rendersella's mugly other and her two sad bisters went out to buy some drancy fesses to wear to this bancy fall. But Rendersella could not go, because all she had to wear were some old wordy dags. Finally, the night of the bancy fall arrived, and Rendersella couldn't go. So she just cat down and sighed. She was a kitten there, a-scrying, when all at once there appeared before her her Gary Fodmother. Okay. And he touched her with his wagic wand. And there appeared before her a Sig Boach and Hicks White Sources to take her to the Bancy Fall. But now she said to Rendersella, "Rendersella, you must be home before midnight, or I'll burn you into a tumpkin." When Rendersella arrived at the Bancy Fall, the Prancing Hince met her at the door because he had been watching behind a wooden hindo. And Rendersella and the Prancing Hince nanced all night until midnight, and they lil and fove. And finally, the mid-clock struck night, and Rendersella staced down the rares. And just as she beached the rottum, she slopped her dripper. Yeah, so we thought too. The next day, the Prancing Hince went all over the corn fundry looking for the beautiful burl who had slopped her dripper. Finally, he came to Rendersella's house. He tried it on Rendersella's mugly other, and it fitted it. Then he tried it on her two sigly usters, and it fitted it. Then he tried it on Rendersella, and it fitted it. It was exactly the sight rise. So they were married and lived heavily ever hapwards. Now, the story of the Maury is this. If you ever go to a Bancy Fall and want to have a prancing Hince loll and fove with you, don't forget to slop your dripper. Okay, we can stop that now. I'm slightly feeling a little self-conscious. All right, everybody, thank you so much. Thank you for enduring that anyway. That was...
It's really well done, though.
Thank you.
It's hard to do those.
It's a little weird, but that was from Archie Campbell, of course, and a lot of fun stuff there. Let's go now straight away to save this to Barbara in Connecticut. We need some East Coast northern charm here. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Welcome to this show.
Thank you. Are you a vampire?
Yes. I was going to say, this isn't awkward at all. All right.
Okay. I was going to look for a puberty poem, but I didn't quite find it. So I'm going to have to read the poem that I wrote for The Garden this week, which is kind of somebody who... Anyway, it's called Thoughts on the Bridal Chair and Hope's Rebirth. And the prompts this week were rebirth and equanimity. So here goes. The picture prompt was The Bridal Chair by Marc Chagall. And here goes. Thoughts on the Bridal Chair and Hope's Rebirth. In a time of desperate struggle, when an entire race had to flee for survival and many were slaughtered while others lived in constant fear of death, hope receded, and many believed it would never return to its throne in their souls. A woman found herself with child and was forced to end this fledgling life for the sake of society's disgusting mores that required her to bow to the whims of gossip and scandal, and forced to marriage when love had not yet crystallized in their hearts. saddened by the desolation of this union, her father, the great Marc Chagall, painted his desire for her happiness as a wedding gift. For a short time, it seemed perhaps the seeds of love might sprout. But her hope for that soon died. She became ensnared in the tangle of war and the endless struggle to find escape for her family and herself. Hope lay trampled as the land, lush and fragrant with lilacs and roses growing rampantly, had been trodden by the big black boots of invaders who stole anything they could find, including people who were never to return to their homelands. And many feared hope would never return until the guns stopped and most thought rationality reigned. Hope's rebirth triggered a renaissance of frivolity and joy, bringing with it an equanimity for all who had made it through the maelstrom of the disaster. And yet the woman did not find her own happiness in this blaze of post-war giddiness, though she pretended and fluttered as her father's savior and confidant. She remained wrapped in despair as love slipped by her too many times. Yet she continued to hang the painting above her bed as a talisman for her eventual discovery of a true union in her desire to bring her sinful love to an end, when immediately she again would take her place in the bridal chair. End poem.
Very, very well done, Barbara. Way to go.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually, that should be in her desire to bring, but that's okay. And I actually, you know how you hate when you have left out something in a poem and then, oh, damn, it was published without it.
I talked to a friend of mine who is publishing a book, and I've mentioned this on the show before, but I mentioned it to a pretty well-known author whose name I won't mention this week. And she completely agreed with me, where I'm like, you think that launching a book or something is going to be this great, you know, amazing experience. And it is to an extent, but what it's really a lot more like is at the last second, at the book signing, realizing you misspelled your name on the front cover.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah,
that's
you get
terrible.
It. You get it. Okay.
Yeah, It's like I was showing, this was a terrible week for me, actually. It would have been my 53rd anniversary if my husband had lived. And so I had my book club on Wednesday. Usually I'd do something interesting and different, but I had my book club on Wednesday. And in order to do a little something for Memorial, I showed them the movie Remembering Hell, which, if you remember, got nominated and was supposed to be shown but couldn't be shown because there was a problem with the technology or whatever. So my friend had the sound fixed, and I was all excited to show it. And we had some technical difficulty getting the right cord and whatever. And they put the movie goes on the screen, and it turns out that my name is misspelled in the end credits.
Really?
Yes. Why someone would put in A after the it's Barabara. They call it Barb instead of Barbara, it's Barabara.
Barabara. Well, hey, you know, honestly, Barbara, I've had people pronounce and try to write my name as Armaday, which is the weirdest thing. So, or Armadur is actually another one, and I have no idea where that came from. So,
it was
frustrating.
But it was good, even though the sound did not sync properly. You know, we have this actual, like, theater in our apartment complex with reclining chairs and all that stuff, and a huge screen, and you think, oh, this would be wonderful, and then it's all unsynced. But I have to tell you, seeing the movie really, really helped me.
Good. I bet. Yeah.
really helped me, and it was worth it. So I'm going to get off the now because I'm number one and glad you liked it. And that's a really good book if you want to read a good book, but it's a little long, The Bridal Chair.
Okay. Wonderful.
You could recommend it to somebody who's like, you know, likes art, especially Chagall.
Likes art. Not... okay.
Yeah. it's a lot about art, and there's a lot about Chagall, and there's a lot of truth about his life, which may, you know, make you take another look at his, you know, work, because his life really informed his work, and we didn't even know it. Anyway, I'm going to get off, and thank you. Talk to you in the return. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Barbara. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. JT, do you think if I do this hammer thing, I can make it rapid fire?
No.
Can't? Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't rotate the drum.
Damn
the
it.
The trigger rotates the drum.
I don't know why I'm surprised every time when it smells so terrible.
Get him every time.
I am not a gunfighter. Okay.
When you,
I'm
when
a
you
gun lover, it, not a fighter.
When you do it with your
yeah.
hand, you still pull on the trigger because it rotates the barrel.
Okay. All right. All right. The rotates the barrel.
Yeah, it rotates yeah. The drum.
Okay. So yeah,
sorry, rotates the drum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Just takes a little timing.
Yeah. Watch out. Nowhere public. Okay. Let's go now to Jim in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Jim.
Hello.
How's it going?
Doing okay.
Yeah? Yeah, so it's just okay, huh?
Well, it's been a busy week.
Okay. Understood, understood. Well, we're happy you were able to join us. And
okay.
And so what I'll do is I'll give you the stage, okay?
All right. Well, this is one I just wrote this morning, and I don't know where it came from. Bob Dylan was laid to rest. Bob Dylan was laid to rest inside a marble mausoleum as we mourned him collectively, some not knowing why. The legacy, the lifetime of music he left us, affords him a measure of immortality. End of poem.
I dug that one.
That's good.
I have to say I appreciated Bob Dylan for a long time. I didn't appreciate him as much as I do now. I went and actually saw him. I took my father to see him last year.
Yes.
And it was a fantastic show. And really surprised me. Beautiful, beautiful show. He wouldn't let anybody film it or take pictures of it, JT. They had people standing there flashing lights if they saw you trying to take a picture.
Oh, good.
They were actually blocking the whole thing out. But I just have such appreciation for the man. And that poem really hooked me because I was listening to him earlier today, actually.
Huh. What's your favorite Dylan song?
Oh, man. Ooh. You know, let's see. So trying to get, you know, I mean, of course, everyone can say All Along the Watchtower, but that's like a standard that's just so basic. You know, Like a Rolling Stone's great. What's the one? I love his cover of Autumn Leaves, actually. I love this later stuff with Charlie Sexton on guitar.
Hmm.
And okay. That's some of the moodier stuff that I really, really like. Like a Rolling Stone, I think is probably one of the bigger classics that I like. But there's so many. There's so many. What about you?
Don't Think Twice, It's All Right.
Mm. That's a good one.
That's good.
Yeah.
One, yeah.
That's a really good
one. And I know they've done a couple of covers, but I just like his acoustic stuff.
Yeah, back when he was, before he went electric.
Some of his older stuff, his later stuff, Shelter from the Storm and Tangled Up in Blue,
oh, yeah,
are also good.
Yeah. Well, that's true, huh? Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. That's great, great stuff. And the thing I thought was a little funny is when he got the prize for poetry and didn't send them an email or anything for like a couple months. He didn't get back to him.
Yep.
It's like, oh, all right, Bob Dylan, that's your prerogative. Anyway, Jim, way to go. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. You know what they don't got in, you know, well, actually, no, that's not true. You know what they got in Pennsylvania?
They got a lot of things in Pennsylvania. Just having to remind yourself, huh?
Man, this is why I don't have a gun.
This is why I didn't give it to you earlier.
Oh, because I wouldn't have been able to. I wouldn't have been able to stop myself. You and I both know this.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. All right.
Gave Michael a toy.
Michael, put that down. No, no. Okay. All right. So now we're going to head to Alabama and visit with Stan. Hello, Stan. How are you?
Yeah. I'm fine. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing real well. Happy to hear your voice.
And yee-haw.
It is. We've been planning it. Well, not really planning it. We've talked about doing it for a while now. We finally just said go today.
There you go.
Yeah. It means nothing. It really doesn't.
It does. It means we're having fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. There is that. Yeah.
That's true. That is true. So what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to read my piece from the garden this week. And it's from Barbara's prompts, which were rebirth and equanimity. And I call this Rebound. Day breaks in the new age of humanity at light speeds. Techno instant everything placates the soul's virtual needs. Such marvels become must-haves, though what's here is working fine. You must possess the latest thing or risk falling behind. A revolutionary rebirth of consumerism dominance. Powers corporate global control without regard to consequence. What government for the people when elections are dollar-driven? What voice or choice to poor who have no means to buy in? Barrages of media bombard our brains, trivialities exploited, truth's enemy. We're overwhelmed and swept away. Desired wants rise above equanimity. The plight of workers to feed the need. Whispers heard now and again. Oppressive conditions and child labor whores dispelled by celebrities and ad slogans. What's that got to do with us? We have freedom, no part of this insanity. Yet the need to feed consumer avarice supports the bondage of part of humanity. Thus a new millennium spin on slavery creeps in despite lessons throughout history. Humanity itself can rejoice in its progress at the expense of others bound to lives in misery and peace.
Man. Stan, that was great.
Oh, thank you.
Man, and really loved the read. Really loved the reads. It just really hit tonight.
I seem to be getting a hell of a lot more social, political. I don't know.
Well, you know, I can understand that.
I think over these decades of seeing how things have progressed through digression,
yeah,
I've reached a point where my bullshit capacity is maxed out.
Yeah,
I just can't anymore, so I'm just sending it back out.
I totally see that. I suddenly realize, you know, like, you know, I'll jokingly talk to my parents, you know, and my parents are at the point where they'll see things and be like, yeah, this person's going to pull this crap. And they always do. They know what's going to happen because they've been around the block. And
yeah.
And I've now at least gotten to the age where I can look at it and go, I'm going to still try to come at this with a fresh approach. However, I'm pretty much aware that this stupidity is probably coming around the corner. You know, so I'm just on the cusp of turning into the get off my lawn kind of guy, Stan.
You know, they slap it in a new box and put a new bow on it, but it turns out to be the same old,
yeah,
same old.
And you open the box and you go, God damn it, fooled again.
Exactly. Oh, damn, it's another tie.
That works literally and metaphorically, actually.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Hey, Stan, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, and on to the next gentleman.
All right, thank you. And that was Stan Collin from Alabama. I always love hearing his reads.
Yeah.
Man. All right. Let's go now to someone we absolutely love on the show. Let's go to Mary in Arizona. Hello, Mary.
I don't know whether to say howdy or good evening.
Hey, you could say howdy evening.
Oh, please don't make me.
Okay. All right. That's okay.
No worries, then.
You don't have to. It's okay. There's no one's forcing anybody to say anything
no,
Western.
I'm cute. I'm just going to twiddle my little braid and we'll go on from here.
Or you could just do this. Point your gun at the stars and...
Oh! Get the sparklers.
It smells terrible.
Yeah. You know you got some height in those big ones. Don't bring those little things out. Never mind.
Exactly.
All right. Never mind. Here we go. I'm going to start with these little words. I appreciate the humor and the wisdom and the parody. In all the face of this ugliness that is around us a lot of times, and now too, in the lack of acceptance of the diversity and its waste. And to honor your little Western theme, I'm going to put a song by, who wrote it was Mark Sanders and T.S. Sillars, it's I Hope You Dance by Leanne Womack. That'll be in the background of my little scribble. I name this one Characters, My Modern Day Heroes. The ability of the deep, troubled, dark, wise, and sometimes healed, full of wisdom souls, characters I have come to love. In books and writings of great authors I have found and come to respect and admire for their veracity and their ability in word form to tell the depth of the human condition and the complexity of the joy and the pain we feel here as humans, in imagination gardens and in real life. People like me that were built on sheer grit and tests of strength through love and patriotism found and waned and redefined again in humane form. Religion and questions of personal spiritual growth, a wisdom from within, if you will, that tells another soul of its sometimes peaceful, still emerging, sometimes emotional structure. Now a rich, complicated matrix of complex neurons and interactions, the wise whom I respect have come to know through inner love and acceptance, the feelings of adversity that we all feel and still seek like-minded souls to relate to at our deepest capacity and please us at our deepest wits, and to learn things from and with them, possibly some of our most life-learning wisdom that we will experience. While being grateful for the chance to sit among any of our beloved ones, and know that wherever we are, we know and respect each other's path and what it took for us to greet and spend time with another here at this brief juncture in our brief life. That's all we get that we know of. Excellence is a state of mind. And strength of character is a gorgeous thing to watch grow over an entire life of time, in ourselves as well as the people we've come to adore, the dearest. I will always wish for all of humanity to feel these great things. Split seconds of clarity in a lifetime of seconds of chances to connect the dots. Let's dance. And so.
Beautiful, beautiful piece. Great
I
job.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Let's just move along. Let's keep dancing.
Move along, little doggy.
Return engagement coming. You're welcome. And nice to see you all.
Good to see you too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. And that was Mary calling us from Arizona, rounding out the second segment here. All right, JT, do you know what time it is? It's time.
The return engagement.
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 All right, everybody. So that means if you want to call in, if you want to call in and read for the first time tonight and you haven't yet, or if you want to call back and share another piece with us, we're taking calls for both. Not looking for five. We're just looking for as many as we get in. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Oh my goodness. All right, and we're back here in the return engagement. JT,
yeah,
it is far too predictable. If you give us both cap guns, we just lose our minds,
it's,
apparently.
It's true. That's, don't worry.
It's actually a good. I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you bought these. These are fun.
Yes.
These are fun.
That's all they are.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
They got some rounds. That's right.
They got some rounds. I've been conserving them. I'm being conservative with this gun. This gun is orange.
Yes, it is.
So no one gets confused.
That's right.
Unless people start painting their guns orange, and then now we got a problem. All right, we've got some great people lined up here. Now, before we get into this, I just want to reiterate, in case you weren't here at the very beginning, we have World Poetry Open Mic Anthology 2018 coming out right before Christmas. If you want to help support the show, you can do it through poetry. So if you'd like to submit something to be included in the book, you can do it at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just put submission for anthology in the subject form, or you can send it through worldpoetryopenmic.net at the contact form. Just denote that that's what you're sending it for. Those are the two ways to do it. We'd really appreciate your poetry and your support. Thank you. Now, before we get into it, how many do we have here, JT? I just want to get my head around this.
We have 12.
12. This is a serious return engagement. Okay, here we go. Let's go right into it. Let's go back to a little bit later morning, but still early morning in the UK. Let's go to Titus. Hello, Titus. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. Number one again. I can't believe it.
I know. You're on top of it tonight.
Oh, I don't know.
All right. So what do you have for us?
Okay. This one's called Catharsis. It's a word that means the cleansing or purification of the emotions, particularly fear and pity, through art, or any extreme change in emotion that results in renewal. So this is about, it's actually inspired by Carpe Diem by William Shakespeare. And it's not so tragic, but I try to put a bit of romanticism in death somehow. People fear it so much. I suppose a modern day Epicurean, I don't mention that word, but that's what I am. This poem's called Catharsis. O final breath, I too leave no doubt, not to say the length of one will flout, how heartbeat sounds still the same, hence how further, deathly keeping softly so, and softly creeping, dreams will also play their game. What in life have you forsaken? Enough sleep time to have taken almost all of you've given death, to conserve all thought as sentry, not without the right of entry, everlasting final breath. End of poem.
It's a beautiful read.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah, and enjoyed the piece.
Thank you.
Yeah. Titus, it really is a treat for you to get up this early. I know it's a sacrifice for you as well, so thank you.
Well, we've got a nightclub to go to tonight, so I've got to stick in a few hours sleep.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes sense, actually. Okay.
Yes. Okay, then.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Goodbye. All right. And leaving Titus there in the UK, it's a great way to begin this segment. All right. Now we're going to head to Kentucky. What movie is that from? Nobody? Nobody?
Sorry.
Winter in Kentucky.
Sounds familiar. I just can't place it.
See if anybody... Okay. I don't know if anybody knows. Okay. Let's go instead to Philip in Kentucky.
Yes.
Hey, Philip. How's it going?
Hello. Well, you know, every time I hear that Eddie Arnold song, I can't help but to think of My Own Private Idaho.
Yeah. Yeah. And a great movie no one talks about anymore.
I know, right? I revisit it every so often.
It's really brilliantly done, yeah.
It, Yeah, it is, and it's some early examples of Gus Van Sant's work. So, yeah, highly recommend it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny because I back when I was playing a little bit again with the Flying W Wranglers, the head of that group was a world-renowned yodeler. Believe it or not, there is such a thing. He's in the Smithsonian And that was a song we would work on, and he actually was showing me how you sing it appropriately, and he learned it from Roy Rogers, of all people. So,
wow.
It was really something. But it's a beautiful song. Beautiful song.
It really is. Absolutely it is. Yeah. And yodeling is no easy feat.
It's not.
That and playing the didgeridoo. I mean, those are not, you know.
And if you can do both at once, you are a damn genius.
Man. I'll just leave it to my prodigy at playing the kazoo.
That's no joke either, man.
No, it isn't. And you know, and I know I'm getting sidetracked, but, you know, when I hear you sing sometimes, it really brings back some very pleasant memories of being in Montessori school. We had a teacher that always played the guitar, like, in the morning, and then to close the day, he would also play folk songs, and it was really great. So, you know, you're in the right profession, sir. You're probably one of the best teachers that I know of.
Well,
so
I appreciate that.
Cheers to you.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Yeah, and your pal there, Mr. Gunther, Umla Gunther, he is a good student, I hear.
Yes.
I am a student. I appreciate that.
You're
Thank
a student.
You
are an apt pupil. Speaking of Gus Van Sant.
Well, I'm going to get to it so you guys can at least have the next Friday night off, or we'll be here all night. It's wonderful. We have 12 poets reading. So I'll be quick. Here's my title. Reconnoitered Biblioteca Azul. And here we go. Wander alone among shelved books, the column dense cinder block tomes, solemn as one through tombs. Rucksack body bag carries off 1,000 years worth of voices, weighty echoes brought back to the first chapel, astride an atlas bone, above narrow footstep paths, below celestial domes envisioned in Borges' Babel, gleaning new words for silence and incoherence. Fellow caretaker of caesuras between the written and heard. Trade in countries and geopolitical thievery for call number infatuation. Blessedly lost in the stacks, so long one's lonesome self is blissfully forgotten. The dead talk willingly to those present in eternity. And there it is, fellers.
That was a powerful piece.
I appreciate it.
Is that a new one as well? Is that from?
Oh, yeah. Both of the pieces I read tonight are all, yeah, they're new.
Fantastic.
And, I'd be more than happy to submit them if that's still okay, sir. When's the deadline?
Deadline's Halloween, end of October.
Halloween. All right. Well,
so you have a little bit of time.
Okay. Yes, I'll get on that. Right. I'm looking at my calendar. It says, you know, I've turned it ahead. I guess it's already midnight here, so it's like September now in Kentucky. So I'm a whole month ahead of you guys.
But but you know the future, so enjoy that. You know, I promise you, since it is Halloween is a cutoff date, I promise I will read all of the submissions dressed like Zorro.
Well, I want to see some photographic evidence of that, my friend.
All right.
You are the fox. All right.
I am the fox in the night. Okay.
What the fox? All right. Cheers.
Oh, and all I can think of, will you be dressed like a banana? Or was it yellow
Why
like
is
a banana?
It when I say like Zorro, everybody starts thinking I am Zorro the Gay Blade. Why does everybody immediately think that's what I'm going to be?
Because you're funny and humorous.
I could be the Antonio Banderas.
That's true.
I don't have the hair for it. I do not have the accent either.
One bits, two bits, three bits, six bits a peso?
I don't have Anthony Hopkins either. Zorro, who is supposed to be a noble, who somehow still speaks with an English accent.
That's awesome.
He looks over at Zorro. Now you listen to me. Damn your eyes! You know, like he's always... Yeah.
It's Sean Connery all over again.
I'm Zorro.
That would be interesting.
I am the last dragon. There's a man down there trying to sink my submarine. Okay, let's go now to Michigan to visit with George. I'm losing my mind.
It's all right.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Hey, it's doing just fine. That was wonderful by Philip.
It was a beautiful piece, wasn't it?
He just does it time after time. It's always fun to hear. So, I'm going to change base and go to and read a short one about birds. This one's called Morning Doves. Alas, the morning doves, perhaps not the brightest books in the flock. Noisy, maybe clumsy when they fly. No stealth, no flitting about and tweeting, no aerial agility. I watched a pair just now as the thunderstorm arrived. Most birds find a sure spot on a branch or in a dense bush to huddle out the storm. Even the big, slow, wild turkeys go to the branches. But not the morning doves. They must fear their balance in the wind-blasted branches. So they go to the ground under a tree and stand there looking about, their eyes shut if the rain is hard. When the storm passes, they waddle out looking around. Yep, yep, it rained. Sure did. That wasn't the best tree, though, was it? Nope. Where are we? Now, I'm not criticizing doves. The ASPCA is safe. I actually like them. I'm not a bird elitist. I'm just merely likening them to congresspersons. And my lovable doves don't seem to know what's going on. And when they are working a feeder and the other smaller angry birds come at them, they just don't move. Keep on pecking. Yup, yup. That's tasty, eh? End of poem.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Now I loved it. I'm sorry.
We're both laughing, but JT's like almost falling out of his chair with that one, George.
It was great, George. Oh. Yep. It rained.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. It rained. some dove breeder or something is probably hates me, but I watch a lot of birds. I'm a bit of a birder and do quite a lot of turkey and this kind of stuff with the ducks and feed a lot of birds. And those guys, they aren't the brightest, biggest knot in the tree limb, that's for sure.
No, they're not.
So anyway, it's just, and even their eyes, they sort of like, hey. But I always think they're stoned a little bit, maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
All right, on that note. No. Hey, George, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. And that was George calling from Michigan, the second poem of the evening.
Oh, man.
Love it. Good stuff.
It was such a great image.
Did I ever tell you the time I went out to an alpaca farm to sign someone up to do a film production?
Okay.
And we passed an ostrich farm.
All right.
Or an ostrich ranch, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
I had my dog with me. As we drive by, I'm watching. And, of course, ostriches are doing exactly what you'd think they do. They just run around in circles.
Yeah.
They're just two legs and a neck. What the hell else are they going to do?
Yep.
They eat and run in circles. That's what they do. My dog, who's never seen ostriches before, I'm just watching it. It's looking out the window, and suddenly she sees the ostriches, and I have never seen a look of just pure anger on a dog. I've seen, all kinds of, but
yeah.
This was the only time I've seen a dog be like, what the fuck? It's just, and she just, it was incredulous, angry barking. And like, who created this? Where is my God now?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's what ostrich farms do to people. Let's go to Stan in Alabama. Hey, Stan.
Hey, Michael. Oh, my God.
It was my first week back at school. I think my mind's a little fried. Sorry about that.
That's all right. You and your poor dog.
Yeah,
I didn't tell the rest of that story is I parked at the end of the driveway, went and visited the people with the alpacas. We go outside. The alpacas are on the far end, all huddled together, hiding. And I look over at the thing they're hiding from, and it's my car all the way down at the end of the driveway. And I have a cracked window, and you can see this little dog snout sticking out barking. So they think the actual car was barking at them.
Oh, my God.
Alpacas.
Yeah,
what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Stan?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
All right.
Keeping with the animal theme. I've actually got a fable, a poetic fable, Cat and Squirrel.
Perfect.
All right. Here we go. In a chill winter morn, neath sudden blue sky, at base of barren tree, alert and ready for flight, squirrel busily foraged while keeping the weather eye. Was then he spied the cat, fur black and white, prowling the garden paths for any as prey. The squirrel stood as stone, but kept hunter in sight. Cat spotted squirrel, to back of tree scurried his prey. At base of tree the cat froze, poised taunt in his start. But loud chatter from behind made him backflip away. In the tree the squirrel chattered as if the cat to mock. The cat heard his prey laughing while he crossed the street. Too bad the squirrel gloating never noticed the hawk. The moral of the tale, to make this fable complete, gloating over a whim may prove a prelude to defeat and peace.
Nice. Very nice. I enjoyed that one very much. What did you think, JT?
That
was good. I liked it. Thank you, Stan.
Yeah, I got trying to figure that one's probably go over big with alpacas and ostriches.
Yeah. You know, alpacas are known to appreciate targeted poetry.
Little factoid.
No, Stan, thanks so much. That was great.
My pleasure, and on to the next.
Thank you, Stan. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Always a welcome voice here. All right. Oh, I'm glad he's able to stick around. Well, I mean, we are moving pretty fast tonight, so this is great. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania.
Calling from Alabama.
Hello, Jim.
Hello.
How's it going?
Same.
Good.
Nothing's changed, huh? Okay.
I'm still here on my bed.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, probably more than you wanted to know.
But where is the bed is the question. You could be in the middle of the Atlantic, and it's a totally different situation.
Well, if I was in the Atlantic, I'd have a really sinking feeling.
Very likely, my friend. All right, I'm going to give you the stage.
Okay, this one is titled August Moon, and I wrote it last Saturday at my reenactment. So, August Moon, the moon majestic, a pale glow cast upon morning dew and the silence of sleep. In the final watch before dawn, one soul rises to witness the scene, then ponder its deeper meaning. End of poem.
I really like that one. That's a really nice one.
Thank you.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go. Man. There's a song called August Winds. I think Sting put it out back in 2013, maybe. Beautiful, beautiful song. For some reason, it kind of reminds me of that piece. It's the same motif. It's not the same, you know, obviously it's not derivative, but it's a beautiful piece as well. Good job, Jim.
Yeah. Do you remember 2 weeks ago you guys said you were waiting for me to do a two-word poem or a two-syllable poem?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have time for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Where God is absent in hell.
All right.
Except for immediately following the crucifixion.
There's that.
But good job.
Okay. Good point. Good point.
But still good.
I was originally going to go with a Philip Matthew Roberts title.
Yep.
The one place God will never be found once he ceases to be omnipresent.
That's
then
a good
kind
one.
Of talked me down from that one.
Yeah, no, I like that one too. But I loved what you did with it. I think it was right on the money.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry for such a long piece.
You better
okay.
be.
You, know
you better be. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, land of enchantment. All right. Now we're going to head to Vancouver, British Columbia. Enchantment of the Land with Cynthia Sharp. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
So that was awesome to hear all this lineup so far.
I know, it's been really enjoyable, hasn't it? And I think you're perfectly placed in the middle of it here, so I'm just going to give you the stage.
Okay, so James really got me in the mood to make the most of these last and this part of the world 2 hours and 15 minutes of August, and it's still summer. So I'm going to do a cover. And it's a cover by my very good friend, Jude Neal. She's one of my very favorite poets in the world and a huge inspiration to me and also a dear friend. And this is from her book, A Quiet Coming of Light. It's a beautiful picture of the rainforest on Bowen Island where she lives. And the poem is called Unbutton the Night. I breathe in the moon. It floods through the valley and settles over the trees onto the bejeweled ground. Shadows collect like sticky pollen in the footpath. Quickly, quickly, you come to me, your hand a white dove suspended by moonlight reaches out to touch my chilled skin. We lie in silvered meadow on a porcelain bed, unbuttoning the night with our yearning. End poem.
That was a cool piece. I didn't anticipate
that. Isn't she amazing?
That. Yeah.
That's Jude Neal, and I just love how polished her work is. She spends about over 20 hours editing each poem. She's that dedicated.
Wow. Very cool.
So she's a huge inspiration to me to put in the time to edit.
Yeah, that's sometimes hard to want to do, isn't it?
I'm really good at whipping off like hundreds and hundreds of pages and then wanting to do something new and shiny.
Yeah, yeah. There's a reason why people send to other editors, because I think if everyone had to self-edit their own stuff, it would just fall apart real fast.
Yeah, so she's given me a challenge. So an easy challenge. One poem a week, polish it, and then she'll help me with my new book. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, yeah. Cool. Right. Well,
thank
great
you
work.
For having me on the show.
Great
and,
read. Thank
you. I'm looking forward to the rest of the lineup.
All right. Thank you so much, Cynthia. We appreciate you. And that was Cynthia Sharp calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. She was the sixth caller in our set of 12. Now we're going to head to James, who we heard from last week. I'm going slowly.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I have to make sure I get the right
all
person.
Right. Fair enough. Illinois. I think this is him, right? Hello, James. How's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing real well. Thanks for holding so long, man.
Oh, it's all right.
All right. Well, the stage is yours. So before we get into anything, I'm just going to let you read, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All right. This piece is called Spinning on the Devil's Finger. Everything heals, give it time. Everything dies, give it time. Scars all bleed, together breathing from the cradle to the grave. Chased by devil hounds, chasing a toothy moon through a hole in the sky, trying to find a shortcut home over roots of bent over trees, high-fiving Jesus in the graveyard, excuse me. Licking toads, wearing golden chains, and swimming in a wishing well, aware of its warts, lit by a two-ended candle
in a southern boy's hand. After the sun sets, going down on the soul for cunnilingus, then penetrating the mother earth with passionate fury, nothing lasts forever in a godforsaken town spinning on the devil's finger. Fingered for the crime, way down in a hole, as children brag about dirty fingernails, smoking as soon as they can walk, and drinking wine made of Mother Mary tears and rotten fruit that lilt down their chin. Free men doing time among the lucky ones, brothers killing brothers, holding hands in the flame, with fingers on the triggers, down below a murderous drunken pyre. Don't be surprised if you get burnt making friends with ghouls that wear toe tags for shoes with vampire laces 100 miles underneath a silver tongue landmine, taking a bite from forbidden veins filled with maggots. Darkness finds us all here in the end when the candle grows dim. Everything heals. Give it time. Everything dies. Give it time. Scars all bleed together, breathing from the cradle to the grave. End piece.
Very cool piece. I heard a lot of kind of Ginsberg in there, the beat poets. That's a really solid.
Thank you. That's a big compliment, and those are some of my favorites of the beat poet generation.
Well, they're strong writers with a really unique feeling and voice to it, and I feel like it was still your own. You weren't copying someone else, but I could feel that influence.
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, I didn't take it from any certain place or anything like that. I really don't even know where that one came from. I was just sitting around. I wrote it yesterday, actually.
Awesome.
And it just kind of came out.
I'm glad you did. We're glad you decided to share it with us too. Awesome.
Thank you. I'm glad I made it in. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it. I came in kind of late.
Well, it's all right, man. That's why we have multiple segments, so we're real happy you could.
All right. All right. Thank you, and on to the next one.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, James.
All right, thank you.
All right, and that was James Collin from Illinois. Man, strong work.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to head to California with Mr. Don Hagelberg. Hello, Don, are you there?
Yes, I am, but I'm having difficulty with this instrument.
Oh,
yes.
Can
you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
This is good. Let me get directly into it.
Sure.
This poem is dedicated for Mikis Theodorakis, and Mikis is the composer who scored the film Zorba the Greek. And he has also written symphonies and about 1,000 popular tunes which spring from Rebetika, which is a blues that the Greeks in Anatolia, Turkey, brought over to Greece when they were forced out in the 1920s. So this title is Elected. You accept a clerk's position. We thank you, Mikis Theodorakis. We thank you for picking up a weapon to fight four-footed fascists, for doing something which we could or did not wish to do, for being captured, and by being captured, also being tortured, not giving up the gold and the silver information paid with pain. We thank you for speaking out against government thugs who beat and tortured you. Twist, twist here, sit, sit there. When you gave them neither tears of diamonds nor smiles of platinum with which to pay for sticks, batons, and truncheons, they twisted yours and beat you more all over again. You stand almost 2 yards and 6 inches tall,
what you produced was not wasted on those who tortured you. The beaters of cheeks, the breakers of noses. After the blood and urine of their game, you came back to return awareness upon them all the more, uncovering for us the music of past ages and places, wrapped up in different faces, singing, which we hymn for you here. And in as well as in another now. Mikis, some called you traitor, and they said they read the word tattooed on your skin because you stood up for the cause, which was only yours to fight. You whispered to yourself, no civil war for Greece. And you spit into your open political hands, you alone, so that they could glue the islands to the mainland, the mountains to the seashore, and the noisy cities to the more silent countryside. You outsang their pouts and cries, barbed with fear and hate. You fathered Greece out of world war hell, and while not overwhelmingly well, you gave us songs which we know now how to breathe together, both stranger and Greek. In poem.
Holy cow. Beautiful piece, Don.
This, I have to give a little footnote. It was Mikis's 92nd birthday on July 29th. He had a heart attack on August 22nd and is being kept an eye on. A dear friend of his, Manos, another poet, died on the 22nd of August. And so what I fear is that death is close for him. But anyway, he wrote a book that has been translated, I Had Three Lives, which is a poetry sample of his work that anyone who might want to get it, I would recommend it to them. Thank you for your kindness in allowing me to bring Mikis to you, and thank you for your kindness in keeping this program alive, and thank you for kindness for putting up with the mucus in my nose. I'm not what I'm cracked up to be. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Don, thank you so much. And that was Don Hagelberg calling from California. Wow.
Yeah, I hope he gets to feeling better.
Oh, so do I. Yeah, please. We all do. All right. Well, let's travel from California back out to Michigan to visit with Dennis. Hello, Dennis. All right. You know what? I thought it was. Dennis,
really?
We're going to have you call back. Sorry about that. We're having that Skype issue again that we've capped out at eight people. Barbara, Mamola Deji, Mary, it might be the same thing. You might have to call back in as well, just letting you know that. So if you hear it, we'll let you know when it's time to call in if you do choose to hang up. Otherwise, we might have to do it again. Boy, all right, here he goes. Hello, Dennis, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back.
Thanks for calling us. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. It's good. It's good to have Don Hagelberg back and calling in.
No
he's
kidding.
Sounding stronger, and I hope he's feeling better. I know he's had a rough time with some different medical issues, and I'm glad that he's calling back in, sharing his work. He has some real depth in his poetry.
Absolutely, he really, really does.
And I don't, so I'm going to I'm going to share my vast knowledge of the cowboy culture, and with you having that sort of as a sub theme this evening, I figured I'd bring to the table my breadth and depth of knowledge of cowboy lore and stuff, and I'd like to share this poem with you. It's the title of it is "The Streets of Laredo." It's a cover poem. I don't have the author to give due credit, but it's the abbreviated version anyway. So, "The Streets of Laredo." As I walk out in the streets of Laredo, as I walked out in Laredo one day, I spied a young cowboy all wrapped in white linen, wrapped in white linen, as cold as the clay. I see by your outfit that you are a cowboy. I see by your outfit you are a cowboy too. We see by our outfits that we are both cowboys. If you get an outfit, you can be a cowboy too. End of poem. And that was performed by the Kingsman Trio, the Kingston Trio, and the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah. And the Smothers Brothers. That's it.
That's right.
I love the Smothers Brothers. Man, I grew up listening to them and watching them. Great choice, Dennis.
Well, now you know how much I know about cowboys.
You know, I knew nothing myself. I knew nothing about it. And I think I proved that when I got there. Thankfully, I could sing, and that's the only thing they needed, because those guys played me off the stage. It was crazy.
Well, you got the talent to back you up, my friend. You got the talent.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But Dennis, thanks so much for the read as well there, and I like that version.
Yeah, I'm gonna just have to go out and get myself a cap gun. That's all there is to it.
Hey, man, it is surprisingly fulfilling to just, you know, like whenever you need it.
Bang, bang, bang. And the smell.
Oh man, that's the worst part.
You can't forget that smell.
No, I can't right now. That's for sure.
Well, thank you. All right. Thank you again. And it's always a pleasure to meet with the family here on the program. And I'm going to move along and let the next poet step up to the mic. And I'm going to say God bless and happy birthday, Michael.
Hey, thank you, sir. Much appreciated. God bless. And that was Dennis Collin from Michigan reading the second piece. I like that he chose that song. It was a good song.
It is.
Yeah. 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 Okay. All right. Now we're going to be heading. Oh, actually,
let's give it a try. Shot. See, okay. I just want to.
Yep.
Yep.
Same issue. Okay. Same issue.
So, Barbara.
Barbara, could you give us a call, please? Barbara, please give us a call. While Barbara is getting ready to give us a call, we are, JT, let's stall. Gunfight.
Okay. Ooh. Ooh. Ow. Ooh. Oh. Oh, there she is.
Okay. Son of a... Hey, Barbara.
Oh, dear. Boys with your guns.
I know. It's a thing. I gotta be honest. I sit there and tell people like, no, you know, we need to really have this gun conversation. But the moment you give me a cap gun, I'm like a kid.
I know, yeah. I know. It sounds like fun, but you know.
Oh, it is fun.
Eyes get hurt,
Barbara. It is fun. I gotta tell you, it is fun actually. It's
you're gonna shoot your eye out.
Not if you're shooting blanks, Barbara. Nope.
It is not a Red Ryder BB gun, yes, so we don't have to worry about that.
I had to say that. Okay.
I know. It's all good.
All right. So this poem that I'm wrote, it's published in my book, You'll Probably Forget Me, Living With and Without Hell. And it is called My Wedding. And I had it up on my anniversary day. And so I'm reading it because my anniversary was August 29th, and I would have been married 53 years. So here goes, my wedding. And if you could see what a baby I looked like, you can see how old I am. Anyway, my wedding. We did it simple. No fuss, no frills, no long white dress. A simple brocade summer weight off-white wool suit. No veil. A pillbox hat, still popular 2 years after Jackie left the White House. Morning light streamed into the spacious rabbi study as we faced each other. Your eyes locked with mine, the bond there before you placed the ring on my finger. The Hebrew words swirled me into history, and I thought of all the brides who stood beneath the canopy and recited those words, said them to the callow men who stood before them and pledged eternal love. Unshed tears pooled in my eyes. Tearproof makeup had not been invented. I thought you were handing me your heart as you recited the words that would bind us, that now my life was complete, marriage the happy ending. Open-palmed, we faced each other, and I placed my heart, fragile as a flower petal, in your hands. Love's magic would sustain us, for better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, I thought. End poem.
It's a moving and a powerful piece.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about this poem because, it's about my feelings when I was that age. And then, I think at the end there's kind of a thought process that happened to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's been a great show, guys, and I'm going to step aside for Mama because it's getting really late. And I just want to say you guys are so funny. Just so funny. And the chat room's so funny, too. So, and everybody here on the show, and Dawn, glad that you're feeling better and could reach us because that was absolutely awesome. I loved his music, and I think we saw Zorba the Greek like 5 times, probably because of the music. I mean, that music was epic, and so is your poem. I think he'd be happy to know that you read it. I hope that he gets better and that you can tell him. And anyway, thank you, guys. Everybody was great, and I'm going to say goodnight.
Goodnight, Barbara.
And talk to you in 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks, that's right. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. It's a beautiful piece there, too.
Yes, it was.
Man. All right.
Sorry.
Mama Oladeji, get ready to give us a call, okay? It's your turn now.
Let's see if we can.
Nope, same deal.
Cool. Okay.
All right, so Mama, just give us a call. We're not being mean to you to cut you off. Just give us a call right back, and that way we know we can get you right on the air. All right. So, JT.
Yeah?
What do you do?
I'm going to answer the phone.
Okay, go ahead. Ooh, the bass drum and everything.
Yeah.
Hello, Mama.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Oh.
Thank you for calling back.
Okay, I'm going to do something.
All right.
First, I got to say, happy trails to you. Until we meet again.
Yeah.
On the last one. Happy trails to you. Keep riding on till then. help me out here, you guys.
You want to sing too? All right, let's see.
Yeah.
And happy trails. Why do I not remember Happy Trails that well? I used to sing it every night of my life. I have all these other songs popping in my head right now, but not that one. Happy trails to you. until we meet again. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, my goodness. Mama, you just exposed me. I don't remember that song. I'm sorry. What do you want me to say, JT?
What, you like write songs and have to memorize your own?
Hey, man, I got in the Western Music Hall of Fame. Do I need to do more? All right.
Okay, I'm just going to read Love and Lunacy because y'all must be in love. Cap guns and carry on.
Hey, why the hell not? Two grown men with cap guns. We can have fun.
Woohoo!
I got some cowboy hats on, too. All right, as long as y'all got on holsters and stuff. And
we will pretty soon.
The little things are going to boots, the little slappy things. Because I used to be Dale Evans. Oh, then sometimes I'd be Annie Oakley. So I was kind of cross between both of them, really. So this is called Love and Lunacy. As the universe streams, moonbeams, vibrations beyond gray skies, dreams are tossed about, clouds linger to infiltrate the threatening calm. Dangerous moons practice divination while waxing or waning, exuding more or less power, affecting evil attitudes of moods. Fondness withers as an underwater rose, guises itself as sanity. Instability rolls her childish eyes. How such contempt shown as civility is more cruel to me. I often wonder why dreams get tossed about near spring. January, February seems to balance a tolerated gloom, keeps the quiet calm in March until the waxing the new alluring moon. Lunacy and love lurk in minds as cosmic scales weigh in, pulling gravity's pull. March introduced the full moon, preparing for the solar eclipse of April. Now that adoration has given birth to love and the shackles, we praise the love of the shackles. Let's speak of the shackles that come with the snares of love's traps, promises of forever gagging in the throats of unkept dedications, quicksand quickening underfoot, love suffocating, instincts of sanity, realities of love's lunacy, hoping we could bottle up the good times and save them, saving the good times for the bad times, testing the power of the mind, testing love's abilities under the new lunar moon. Hysterical levels of confusion, universal melodies soothe the carnal mind. Bonds together gods and goddesses of love, Venus vibrations penetrating, piercing arrows into zones of overzealous lust, and wanton lust parading as love, causing mental confusion, the exorbitant gate of your natural instincts, and the logic wrestles married now. Our love and lunacy together. In peace. That was A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. The last one with the X.
Very nice, Mama. Very nice.
It was good news.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. It was worth the wait here. I'm sorry you had a hard time getting in earlier for whatever reason was going on, but we're glad we got you and we were able to hear from you tonight.
All right. You're welcome. Until happy trails to you.
Until we meet again. All
happy trails to you. Keep riding on.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty stir. Keep riding on the range. Honestly, you know what this is? I've studied these songs, Mama.
Yeah.
The truth is, it's the same chord progressions and the same melody, just saying Mad Lib style Western stuff. That's actually really what all these songs are. He's in a saddle riding on the range with his spurs a-jangling and his head. Yeah, okay, sorry.
You only have one chance to make a first impression. That was not good. Okay.
All right, thank you, Mama.
I love you both. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye. And that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Land of the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
That's right. On this year's HBO Hard Knocks.
Wow, too bad we didn't get sponsored.
Man, They would be a natural sponsor. Hey, we got this little poetry show, HBO. Do you want to market your NFL documentary on this thing? You can pay us in chicken wings. All right, let's go to, or actually, let's have her give us a call.
Yeah, Mary.
Mary in Arizona. Just imagine me picking up a conch shell that's just for Mary.
I don't think conch shells sound like that.
No, you blow you blow a conch shell, and then you shoot into the air. It's twice as powerful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it's a conch shot.
Gotcha.
Hey, Mary. How's it going?
A conch shell. And then you shoot into the air. It's twice as powerful. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. How's it going?
Oh, the conch shell.
Yeah.
The conch shell.
It's a conch shot.
Anyway, huh? Happy birthday to Namrata and to you, Michael.
Thank you very much,
and
Mary.
You silly little boys tonight. Oh, you silly. Let's get their little hats and their, what do you put around the kerchiefs? Get their kerchiefs ready.
Hey, so Mary, I wore that for my job. I was famous for dressing like this.
I see you. Did you put stuff over your nose like you were robbing a bank? Did you really?
No, only when it smelled bad.
Oh, see, at least you were conscious. Never mind. boys. All right. I'm gonna just everyone get on their jammies. I'm gonna put a little meditation, little thing in the back, and then this is my thing that I put together called Solace Appreciated. Solace in closed doors, open when chosen to. Bathroom baths and oils and candlelight. Scents of lavender and sandaled woods, calming to cool the raging of the storms. Scars healed over with time and sun-shown care. Bedrooms of solitude where more becomes clear. The lineage and depth of the body beheld, honored, grown through appreciated silence. Doors knocking so harshly in this world's faceless actions every day, in between the sweep of grand life forces that shoot through with their own volumes of magnitude. All becomes peace again in the calming of the sound of my own breath, relaxing in its own depth. Halls of books to please me, shelved away from draft and harm. Me, the one they call too fantastical, too whimsical, too frivolous, too caring, too hearty a laugher, and too big a crier, too. Two times eternal, maternal amounts of emotion. All calmed and woke and calmed again in a new hue in these private stacks of dormitories and self-made cells where learning never ceases no matter what the time. Appreciated humble mat sitting where thoughts meander by just like all those next to and around me. And I pick and choose them as I ponder like a menu before me in the air. Life, death, suffering, empathy, disdain, acceptance, vices, visages, beloved connections, denial, acceptance again. Even nothing at all becomes a choice. And after each session, I know and accept and yes, even love myself more. Needing for solitude, needing for reflection, needing for accepting and processing darkness. It creeps in through stress shadow. Or echoes of dreams permanently on edge, now left to hover effortlessly as I dream in octaves and think of world peace. I adjust accordingly to non-gravitational forces, find a way to escape through an eerie sense of osmosis and a satisfaction for all time being as baggage is removed and the remainder feels as a sort of breath of new and lightness. Warm revisiting of breezy evenings, jagged before. The distant mountains are at my back door now and don't frighten me, but rather envelop and enchant me with their longevity. Lives thrive here too. When I felt an adequate share for me, sense of these things, in my life I come to see my beloved and all those around me with a strengthened sense of patience, energy, help me live a life as free as possible and what a sentient is has the right to. With the exceptions and expectations coming only from within to fit the unfolding part of the moldings of our humanhood now realized. Solace appreciated and dancing.
That's all I got.
Well, it's
good.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. That was beautiful.
Everyone, I'm yawning and stretching, and I'm so lovely. I'm going to dream of all your lovely words tonight. See you in two.
See you in two. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Night.
Good night. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona finishing up our return engagement set. I want to say thank you to everyone who called in. It really means a lot to be able to spend this time with you, to hear your words and just kind of have fun and be able to have conversations with you. It means a lot to us, and we don't take it lightly. We don't take you for granted. So in 2 weeks' time, we'll be returning. Next week, during the time of the show, I'm going to be at the Colorado Symphony. My brother is coming through town and playing with the orchestra, and Jake Shima Bukaro, I think that's how you pronounce his name, is a ukulele virtuoso, yeah. And so my whole family's going to that. It's a real special deal. I mean, it's not that commonly that you get to play with an orchestra like that. Yeah. All new arrangements, everything. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
But then 2 weeks from now, we'll be back, and we'll be with another set of clues for the POM for this month, and a new poetic form as well. I'll introduce that that week. Okay? So, from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from JT, and myself, thank you once again so much. We love you. And until next time, keep writing.